history student knows it as the War of 1812. But the problem is, we got no respect. Europe simply did not take the United States seriously. As such, England and France, for instance, engaged in their own conflict, refused to accept American neutrality. That's where the trouble really began. You see, while France and England were slugging it out, we as a neutral nation were able to trade with both feuding parties. In the early years of the Anglo-French War, American shipping benefited enormously. But then, in 1805, the British determined that no U.S. vessel would be permitted to carry goods from the colonies of France to the motherland, even with a stopover at a U.S. port. Napoleon then countered with orders that any neutral vessel sailing into a British port or paying British duties or even allowing itself to be searched by a British vessel would be subject to confiscation by the government of France. This was, of course, a French blockade of the British Isles. Predictably, Britain countered, declaring that the ports of France and its colonies and its allies were now off-limits to neutral vessels, unless those vessels first docked at British ports to pay British duties on their cargoes. And so it was that American trade was confronted with a double blockade. To have obeyed the decree of either nation would have risked confiscation by the other. And it was for that reason that the United States decided to heed neither. Our position was that the British and French blockades violated international law. But as the months passed, the French gave us less trouble, the British gave us more. In fact, the British developed a nasty habit of stopping American ships on the high seas and impressing the American seamen into the British Navy. We got no respect. In 1811, Napoleon announced that U.S. vessels could trade wherever and with whomever they wanted. That as far as the U.S. was concerned, there was no French blockade, but the British Council still refused to revoke its earlier decree. England would continue to interfere with American commerce in any way that she could. We got no respect. Finally, President James Madison decided it was time that we got some respect. June 1, 1812, he said so in a message to Congress. We behold our seafaring citizens still the daily victims of lawless violence. I'm quoting. He said, we behold our vessels wrested from their lawful destinations. And Congress listened, and June 18 became the official declaration of war. Now, I said June 18. It's really important to remember that date, for the history books tell us that the United States went to war with Great Britain, and for a second time in 36 years, and that it was a costly war in both money and lives. On June 18, this is the rest of the story. On June 16, 2 days prior to our declaration of war on Britain, a motion was entered before the British Council that interference with United States commerce was to cease. That motion was passed, but there was no radio in those days, and such was the sluggishness of transatlantic communication that we didn't find out about it until it was too late to back out. We entered the War of 1812. 2 days after the reasons for that war were no more. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
And good afternoon, KPRL listeners. I think some of the most informed listeners on the Central Coast for sure, and possibly even statewide. So the topics that we talk about and having various people Monday through Friday on Sound Off in the afternoon, 12:30 to 2, and having Kevin and Chris in the morning with callers calling in from our community here, local people with local issues that understand what this country stands for, what our God stands for, what our family, and let's make it, it's all local. All politics is local. So I do have some concepts that I wanted to address today. It's having to do with the executive powers, President Trump and the State of the Union address, and how that can impact our day-to-day lives. And there's been a huge emphasis in the last year, really, with DOGE and the Department of Governmental Efficiency, and looking at all of the areas where there has been, we'll call it fraud. I mean, it's a court that determines that it's fraud, but essentially where funds have been appropriated and applied for and grants applied for that have turned out to not be used in the appropriate manner in which they were applied for. And there have been people and organizations and non-governmental organizations and regional authorities, et cetera, that have received monies and it has not actually gone to what it was supposed to go for. We have that here locally, and there are many people on this out there that know about some of the different grants that have been applied for locally that the funds have been used elsewhere. And it's just a matter of time before, you know, it takes people taking the time, energy and effort, money, et cetera, to fight that and expose it and to show it for what it is. But one of the, and I'm speaking directly with regard to the PRAGA board and the memorandum of understanding that was to be the groundwater basin applied for a $7 million grant. And those monies have gone, what we're finding is that those monies allegedly have gone toward items that were not included in the original grant. They've gone for things like even the Proposition 218 protest vote that was successful, a We the People protesting, having a water tax, essentially. So keep your signs. If you have those no water tax signs, they're back at it again with Proposition 26 this time. So if you have questions about that, we can go into that a little bit further. But what I wanted to talk about was the State of the Union address, President Trump, and he's now declared war on fraud. I have, through a new California state connection, Chris Street, who is an economist and was involved in working out the Orange County bankruptcy. And unlike the county, our state of California, even though it's essentially in a state of insolvency where the liabilities exceed the assets, we're continuing. We have a budget deficit this year of $18 billion. And it appears that they're forecasting that will likely be $30 billion next fiscal year. So where we are is pretty, in some ways, over the falls. It's already done. And it's a matter of how does this all happen? But I want to go to Chris Street's article that he has in what's called the Mountaintop Times. He writes this out of Redding, Shasta County, and he's making reference to President Trump's State of the Union speech being the longest in history, as he took credit for 42 accomplishments, and it seems to light the Democrats' hair on fire when he does talk about those things. But one of the things that he was silent about was DOGE as his biggest accomplishment, which set the peacetime record for cutting 273,000 federal jobs and is set to slash another 1.6 million state and local government jobs and 2 million not-for-profit paid jobs. So when we have our jobs report, this is off his article, not referencing his article when I'm speaking off the cuff here. But when we have the jobs that went down this last month, it may be revised. But the whole point is that when you have governmental jobs, these are not economic development jobs. These are taxpayer-funded jobs or even unfunded jobs. So when you have, it goes to the, there's federal jobs, but then there's also the, each state receives money from the federal government, and they had another $1.6 million jobs. And like every organization that you know of, every board has consultants that then there might be non-governmental agencies that act as doing the orders of the county or the city or the board, whatever it might be. So there's, it just is expanding at some exponential rate. Going back to the article, the mainstream media desperately tried to fact check away President Trump's State of the Union accomplishments. But according to CNN, 64% of speech watchers reported a positive reaction, with 38% very positive and 26% somewhat positive, comparing to a 36% negative reaction. So going on to talk about Doge, it went active on January 21st, which is the day after 2025, the day after his inauguration, and the first 150,000 federal job buyouts began February 6th, and almost all probationary employees less than 1 year of service were laid off by February 21st, 2025. What happened next was that then people were given an opportunity to leave their jobs and paid through September of 2025. But now it has reduced federal employment by 273,000 full-time jobs. That's an average of 25,000 jobs a month from March through December of 2025. So what this, you know, statistics lie in. Anyway, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics has reported that President Biden created 16.6 million non-farm payroll jobs during his 48-month presidency. But Biden's first 9.5 million job gains were restored employment from the end of COVID-19. So Biden can legitimately claim he created 7.1 million jobs, or about 148,000 per month. Now, the supporters argue the jobs were real because there were additional new federal jobs, but Biden's $7 trillion of federal deficit spending also paid for 1.6 million state and local government jobs, or about 33,000 per month, and another 2 million not-for-profit paid jobs, or 41,666 per month. So the reason why I bring this up is $7 trillion of federal deficit spending, meaning there wasn't a way to be able to pay for this. Project Veritas, just before the Trump inauguration, featured an environmental protection agency staffer that was describing Biden's federal end-of-term climate change spending as like throwing gold bars off the Titanic. So when we get a one-year lag time of those contracts and those jobs that were, and even the consultants that were paid through this contract, what we have is now 1 year later, a lot of these contracts are now coming off. And as an executive power authority comes from being able to do what I call RST, reduce, suspend, or terminate contracts, especially when it's regarding when there have been determined that there's fraud involved. So that 1 year lag time will soon cause $3 trillion in federal contract terminations. That means 3.6 million of the state, local, not-for-profit paid jobs are about to go away. So what we're seeing is that has transpired. So when President Trump made J.D. Vance in charge of his war on fraud, that, when we look at Minnesota's been in the headlines, and when we look at Minnesota, who's in population-wise is considered a small state, when you look at the fraud ratio, if it's the same in California, which is 7 times larger, the temporary halt in the Medicaid reimbursements would be about $2 billion per month. And the total fraud liability would be about $63 billion to $126 billion. That's the state of California. So you can see that what has transpired with the Employment Development Department, unemployment insurance fraud that has been agreed upon between California and federal, California owes a percentage of that back to the federal government. That, I believe, is about $32 billion back to the federal government. They have paid some of that, but not all of it. I think they've paid $14 million, and now they're looking to the employers to help pay back for the fraud that was, some have said that they've agreed upon $180 billion of unemployment insurance claims paid to people, agencies, et cetera, that were not legitimate claims. And I've heard talk of $300 billion and even perhaps up to $800 billion of this unemployment insurance and different agencies that have received funds from the state of California that were not used for their purpose or their intended purpose, or I hope that it was the intended purpose, not used for that purpose. In any case, we're talking billions and billions and billions of dollars. And so when California is in a position where it's insurrection in that sense, we're not too far away from where, as a state, it's pretty serious. So the county of Los Angeles has been in the news with different fraud cases there, and the Palisades fire, and not only giving out 3 or 4 permits, and then you have the superintendent where there was an FBI raid. They were taking out bonds to pay for claims that were about sexual misconduct, et cetera, or misappropriation of things. So when they're going out to the people to have bonds and to have obligations of the people paying taxes in order to fund the misappropriation of assets or the illegal activities by these different agencies and these different boards. And even then the county, I think, had to pay out something like billions of dollars of claims. What you have is you have a case where the government and the governmental agencies are acting against the people. And so when you have that situation, that is called insurrection, and it's against the Constitution. So when I talk about Article 4, Section 4, that comes into play in every single local community, because when the country, the United States of America, has to protect against invasion, and that's why ICE, Immigration Enforcement, has authority over any state, any local, anything. So when you have states that are sanctuary states and cities that are sanctuary cities, that in and of itself is treason or sedition or a state of insurrection. And it's up to the federal government to enforce the policies of the United States of America. And I hate to break it to certain cities and states, there is no provision for being removed from the United States of America in the Constitution. And the state of California currently, I think they still have on the books the initiative where they want to be their own country. And I would like to implore people that we want California. We are all Californians. We want California to be part of the United States of America, and we want to make California and the amazing place that it once was You know, we had the educational systems. We have great weather. We have so much diversity of geography, of populations, and it can be an amazing, amazing place here in California. And what we have now is where I think it's something 220 that I'm aware of, public companies that have moved their headquarters outside of the state of California. We know about the billionaires tax, the billionaire where they would be taxed on a percentage of their wealth, not on income. The state can have income tax, but they are, this is, in my mind, on the unconstitutional part about having a wealth tax. So where we are now and where we can be are two different places, but I think everyone realizes that when you look around and you see what's happening in our local areas where it's upside down, it's Captain Obvious, where things aren't how they should be, that it's up to us to really take note and call this out and band together. And if it's about an election, if it's about an elected official, then we have the upcoming elections. It's going to be June 2nd is the primary. And for the statewide offices, then the top two, we have a top two primary, where the two top vote getters then move on to the general election in November. And then the general election in November also has a lot of the community services districts and the school boards, and some of the city councils will have their elections then as well. So if you are annoyed, to put it into our caller's words, if you are annoyed, then please consider running for office or supporting someone who you believe will stand for the community, stand for the children, stand for our families, stand for our country. I encourage everyone to get involved and to be informed and find out about who's running for office. And we can talk about this further, but I do have a couple areas we want to talk about after the break, and we'll be right back. It's Darsha Sevens flying solo today.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks finishing higher for the day and week after the February jobs report showed that payrolls unexpectedly fell by 92,000 during the month, widely missing expectations that over 55,000 jobs would be added. The job loss numbers were the second highest since the first year of the COVID pandemic. Oil prices continue to jump amid fresh fears about a hit to supply from the expanding Middle East conflict. Crude oil prices surged and closed above $91 a barrel, while Brent crude, the global benchmark, rose nearly $93 a barrel for its biggest weekly gain on record. The Dow winners, Boeing, IBM, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and American Express. The Dow falling 453 points. The NASDAQ lower by 361. S&P 500 down 91. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Spring into wellness and start on the right foot. Just like Allegretto Vineyard grapes begin their journey from the ground up, so does your wellness journey. Receive a complimentary rejuvenating foot treatment with any 90-minute spa service throughout the month of March. A soothing special treatment for your feet. Book now and step into the season renewed at Allegretto Vineyard Resort in Paso Robles.
CNC Tree Service, locally owned by Randall and Shannon Clegg for 38 years. Tree removal, trimming, cabling, corrective pruning, stump grinding, brush and road clearance. They have the equipment for any residential or commercial job. If you want instant shade with mature trees, they have the only spade truck in the area to plant or move your large trees. CNC has moved oaks, manzanita, olives, palms, pepper, and various others. Licensed and insured, member of the International Society of Arboriculture. Call 805-434-0914.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And good afternoon. Darcia Stebbins in here in studio, and we have some calls coming in, and I'll go right to the phone lines. But if you have a topic that you want to talk about, I will have some information on the postcards that have just been received by many in our local community from the San Luis Obispo County Clerk's Office, having to do with verifying your residency and the upcoming election. But we'll go right to the phone lines. And welcome, you're on the air. Oh, please do call back. Sorry you had to hold over the break. I wasn't sure exactly what the topic was going to be, but I did want to just talk about a little bit the property rights and invasion, I'll call it, or government overreach. So that's always a fun topic for me, whereby in San Luis Obispo City, especially, there have been a couple different topics. Everyone's hurting for money, and a lot of us know exactly where the money's going. And there's a lot of, we don't know where the money's going. So for the money that we know about where it's going, being used in ways that perhaps are not the most supportive of the community, we'll call it that way, where it's not as like-minded as what we would like to see of our representative government. So one of the items, they're trying to basically enact a rent control in the city of San Luis Obispo, thinking that, you know, they're doing something for the people. But you have property owners that when they're subjected to this, I have clients who are property owners and have an apartment building. And for those apartment building, it's actually workforce housing. It's on the lower side of what they're charging, and they do an amazing job of keeping, these are not slumlords. These are people who do an amazing job of the maintenance and keeping this up. This is actually in Santa Barbara County, but then they also have a property in San Luis Obispo County. And this is workforce housing. This is, so when you have rent control, essentially in Santa Barbara County and trying to get that into San Luis Obispo County, it never ends up being good for anyone, really. The local government might succeed by having more revenues, but in the end you end up where people are having to pay, and there's someplace that's not, crime rates usually go up, it's lower income, it attracts people and crime. So when we also have where the city, I believe, is trying to institute having where hotels can now be, you know, where they have to keep people, you have tenants' rights, and they have to keep people there for up to 120 days instead of 30 days. This infringes upon the rights of those businesses, those small business owners. So if you're a small business owner, I'm a small business owner, if you're a small business owner, at any point in time, you can be literally shut down by about 10 and sometimes 20 different agencies if you're in a regulated, highly regulated area. So if you're a small business owner, call me, let me know what you're encountering day to day that is the most annoying or the most egregious, or how it's impacting you. And when we have business owners in our community, they're usually the ones that are supporting the community efforts, even the schools, supporting the parks, the recreation. And so when you have these laws and regulations that are being put on the people instead of the liberty of having the market be able to determine whether or not you're going to do a certain business or not do a certain business, when it becomes, the government becomes your partner, even an unwelcome partner, that's where we start to see where there's destruction. It immediately cuts off the productivity and ends up that it's a redistribution of wealth at one point in time or another. So if you are a small business owner, let me know what you're encountering, and perhaps you can highlight areas where we haven't yet understood how we can stand up to this. And it does just have to be a We the People movement. But when you have a community of people like-minded saying enough is enough, this must not happen, and we use our vote and have our vote be protected. So I will be talking about in the next couple weeks, talking about how we can protect our vote and how we can have that vote actually mean something. I am not one to give up, and I'm not one to have learned helplessness. Well, it just doesn't matter. Well, it's never going to have any effect. That's absolutely not true. And I'm here to let you know that there are agencies and there are, I'll call it movements, all across the state, trying to do what we can to take back the state and have it be a beautiful state again. And my seeing that is through New California State offering a state constitution, offering to the people a way to have, once again, have these regional boards literally go away. They don't have authority. They're not elected officials. They may be elected, but it centers on the election itself, that if you have vote by mail ballots and mail going out to anyone and everyone that's on that registered voter list, there's no chain of custody. If you don't have to have voter ID, then you don't know who's returning those ballots, and having the signature matching be the only thing that acts as the gateway to determine whether or not that's a legitimate voter, it is not sufficient. So if you look at the maps of the United States and you look at the states that don't have voter ID, California is one of them. If you look at those states and you see which presidential candidate won the states that don't have voter ID, it's pretty obvious at some point. So California doesn't have voter ID. I want to let people know that our community, our local San Luis Obispo Atascadero headquarters submitted over, I think, 1,100 petitions for the Carl DeMaio's Reform California initiative to have voter ID in the state of California. It looks like that has been successful, that they have enough signatures to get to the November ballot so that we can vote to have voter ID, which is kind of curious. But in any case, it is a way to be able to highlight that the voter ID, not having voter ID, is so ridiculous, and it's an anathema to constitutional republic, that you have to know whether or not a person is a citizen, a U.S. citizen, and that they have a legal right to cast their vote. And if you don't have voter ID and you don't have a paper ballot and you don't have one-day elections and you don't have a way to be able to have the chain of custody not broken at any point in time and have it be transparent and have it be, you know, then you don't have a real election. And I'm here to say that if we had real, legitimate elections, California is a red state over and over. The numbers, from the numbers guy, Trump has won California in 2020 and 2024. So that's how far it has come in 20 years in California with our voting. And I know I get, this is my personal opinion, so I'm exercising my right to believe what I believe. I have seen different things, and I know that our county clerk recorder continuously speaks out against me, saying our elections are the safest and securest elections in all of history. And I want us to have secure elections. I want us to be able to know that my vote, how I voted, and using that paper ballot counted as the vote that I selected on that ballot. And I, right now, cannot be assured that that, in fact, it is happening. So that is my legal right as a citizen to vote, and I want that to be secured. So how do we get there? Voter ID is a big start. It's wholly insufficient if we still have vote by mail ballots. So I encourage every single person to take a look at when they get that vote by mail ballot and say, how do I want to have the most secure way for me to vote? The most secure way you can vote in our county still is to vote on election day with a precinct ballot. Those ballots are counted. Those are the only ballots counted election night. Anytime on election day, actually. So it's the least chain of custody errors and possibilities, and so that is the most secure way that you can vote in our county. San Luis Obispo County still has precincts, and I encourage everyone to make it voting fun again. Get with your neighbors. You're all in the same precinct. Get informed about the issues and what is and isn't happening, and take back our vote. And we can do that. San Luis Obispo is a very... I believe that it is a red county, and we just have to be able to secure our votes and have it be obvious. I believe that there will be, that President Trump will issue an executive order that will have us have free and fair elections once again. And we need to demand it, and we need to do what we can do to say we want free and fair elections. And it is the vote by mail ballot itself that is a problem. Alex Padilla started that, and it was really secured with the Motor Voter Act. It started 2016, and as we know, in 2020 with COVID, that's when a vote by mail ballot was sent out to every active registered voter on the list, not just the ones that requested it. So people think, oh, well, I voted by mail for the last 20 years. That may be true, but it was called an absentee ballot. And there was, even in Tommy Gong's time in 2016, 2018, where that was the most efficient, cost-effective way to vote, and they were encouraging people to vote at the precincts. And how that has changed so remarkably in the last several years. Why is that? Because now we have millions of dollars going to contractors that in some ways are... Our data is being sent overseas, foreign contractors being able to access our United States elections remotely, and it gets down to the county level. There's 34 approximately 3,400 counties in our United States, and you only need to have about 7 or 8 of those counties to be able to turn an election. So let's take back San Luis Obispo County, take back our elections, take back our boards, the city councils, and have them be constitutional. Have them be where they're following the laws of the nation, and let's break up the Doge. We'll go after the money. Let's turn it around. And after this break, I would love to hear from people who are experiencing this in their daily lives where you have government overreach. Thanks so much, and call in 238-5775.
With the big, beautiful bill comes new tax laws, and for business owners, that means more rules, more details, and more chances to miss important savings. This is Billy Gallant with your locally owned and operated H&R Block offices. We stay on top of every tax law change so your business stays compliant and keeps more of what it earns. From deductions and credits to full business tax preparation, our experienced tax professionals handle it all with accuracy and personal service you can trust. Don't let new tax laws cost your business time or money. Call your local H&R Block office today to make an appointment and get your business taxes done right.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
Elite Roadshow Buyers is returning to Pass Robles at the History Museum located downtown for 3 days only. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, March 9th, 10th, and 11th. And Tomorrow Bay at the Veterans Memorial Hall for 2 days only. Thursday and Friday, March 12th and 13th. Call 760-783-5483 to book your appointment. Phones are answered 7 days a week. Meet the team of buyers, including 3 seen on TV's Antiques Roadshow, all with decades of elite experience to offer you the best price for your heirlooms. They're buying a wide range of fine items like gold and silver jewelry, watches, coins, sterling silver, oil paintings, even antique firearms, historical items, advertising memorabilia, and more. Visit the website EliteRoadshowBuyers.com for more details. Don't miss this free event to receive purchase offers with immediate payment. Call 760-783-5483 today. That's 760-78-ELITE.
And welcome back to Sound Off. It's Darcia Stebbins sitting in for the Darcia Stebbins and Kenny Enney show. Flying solo today, and I was actually thinking about when I did fly solo for my private pilot's license, and it wasn't the flying solo day that was really nerve-wracking. It was the flying cross-country solo day that was a little bit more nerve-wracking. So, but flying solo, flying is an amazing opportunity. If you have the chance to learn to fly, or even to go up into private aircraft, it's an amazing way to see the country. And even flying back and forth, let's say to Santa Barbara or to the Bay Area, I have that opportunity. I'm not current in my pilot's license right now. My husband has a plane and we do fly. And every single time, you know that driving the Central Coast is just one of the most beautiful places in the world. But flying over California is so amazing. You can see the Sierras from just about anywhere on a clear day. You can see the Sierras. Now they're snow-capped. And even with a change in the lighting or change in the shadows, you'll be flying over something and realize, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that there were ranches back there. There's a lake. There's a water. There's just, you can see different communities, and it's an amazing thing to be able to fly. So that flying solo part, that has very good connotations to it. And the only thing that happened when I was flying cross country is I was flying from Santa Barbara to Delano Field, which is over by Bakersfield. It's a small, uncontrolled, non-towered airport. And as I was flying across, I'm thinking, okay, I should be able to see the airport. I should be able to see it. Oh my gosh, I'm just going to keep flying east. I don't know what I'm doing. And then you realize, okay, I got this. And but for a moment there, you're just thinking, what have I done? I'm in this aircraft all by myself. And, you know, you practice hours and hours and you train for certain events. So in your car, you know, they don't even have driver's ed anymore. But when you go and you're a student driver, there's certain things that you learn and you have to kind of just learn on the job. And when you're flying, it's a little, because you can't just pull over. Anyway, we'll go right to the call. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Darsha. How are you doing? I hope you're doing well. Thanks for taking my call. Thank you for all the information you've been providing today regarding, you know, the fraud and the misappropriation of, you know, taxpayer funds and everything that you discussed today. And I can't help but think how crucial it's going to be for the next presidential election that the rest of this nation understands thoroughly just how debilitated and how crippled the state of California is now. And because we have this man, you know, this narcissist, arrogant person that's destroying this state, who's going to run for president of the United States. And the scary part is that this guy could actually be elected.
Well, I do understand your concerns, and I was back in D.C. several months ago for a conference, and I was talking to someone that actually said, you're from California. We may have a president that's from California soon. And I looked at him and I said, well, if you're supporting him, I certainly hope that you will do your research. And I said, so what is it that you like about, and I believe you're speaking about Gavin Newsom. And he said, yes. I said, so what is it that you like about Gavin Newsom? And is it just that he's from California, or what is it that you like about him? And he actually said to me, he doesn't lie. Please, I said, that is not my experience, and that is not the experience of many Californians. I said, please do your research. It won't be hard to find. So I try to focus on the financial side of it, because that seems to be something that people can agree on. It's not quite as political as some of the sanctuary state, or even some of the laws that have been enacted. And when you have the Proposition 50 vote that goes through, that for people to understand, there are 52 representatives from the congressional representatives from the state of California. Out of those 52, we now have 8 Republicans. We had 9. Doug LaMalfa passed away. We have 8. And Proposition 50 was supposed to pit the Republican assembly congressional member against a congressional member, so that then it would likely go down to 4. So when you have 4 Republican congressional seats representing, you know, millions and millions of I'll say Republicans, but certainly conservatives from the state of California, that's what we end up with. So we can see that the Republican Party has not had or won, quote, won a state office in the state of California in 20 years. It's unbelievable what has happened. So I agree with you. We cannot have Governor Newsom. I believe that there will be significant things coming out in the next couple months, maybe even weeks, that have to do with what President Trump has been doing internationally, that he's turning his direction toward the national issues. And I suspect that when you have Venezuela, Cuba, Iran being front and center with our military operations, those are all connected to the elections cycle and to who has been determining the outcomes in our elections. So I'm not sure if you've made that connection, but I think it's really important when we talk about the elections being front and center and talking about the financial issues that have taken the state of California to a place where there was a surplus, to a place where there's a deficit, and it is not getting better. So what is an area that you see that you are most concerned about?
Well, you know, the list is tremendous. For me personally, I'm a small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in business in the Paso Robles area for, I don't know, since 2000. And, you know, it's just getting harder and harder and harder to make things work. There's just a thin line that, you know, that you're riding. And to make a profit and then not be just obliterated with a tax consequence. But that's a whole different thing, Darsha. My biggest thing that I've witnessed in the past, one of the things I've witnessed in the past concerning Newsom was we saw this tremendous amount of velocity and energy going into that recall campaign. And, you know, and I've made this statement numerous times, the Democratic Party, what they're really good at is circling the wagons. They will defend their own to the death, whatever it takes, dishonesty. Honesty, whatever it takes, they circle the wagons. They are good at getting a job done and doing whatever it takes to get what they want. Now, others may disagree with me, but the problem we saw during the recall campaign, there were a lot of folks and individuals that put everything they had into it to see that through. And it was a commendable period in time that you could see that people were rallying to get this done. But in the end, you know, Joe Biden flew into Long Beach to campaign for Newsom to save his rear end.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like on the Republican side, we didn't have that representation. We didn't have that much backup and support. And I feel like, you know, when it comes down to the nitty gritty, there's complacency, you know, on the conservative party, and things slip through. It's like too late by the time something's going to get done. And I feel like in this instance, with Newsom possibly becoming the next president of this nation, we need to make sure, Darsha, that type of information that you're communicating to us, that the rest of the United States sees that and knows that. It needs to be on every media outlet so that Republicans and Democrats together can all see it. Does that make sense?
And thank you for bringing that to light, because your call and you doing that as well, the music's going, we've got the bumper music. But what's happening here locally in the state needs to go out everywhere and let people know. And it's an easy way And I will tell you, because you mentioned it, the recall. I have numbers on the recall that will say that
this
he was actually recalled.
Brought to you by Mid-State
okay, thanks
Precious
so much.
Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.